Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
It's Major News with Major Garrett, our weekly conversation with CBS's chief Washington correspondent.
Major is also the host of America Decides on CBS News 24/7. We have the chief Washington correspondent with us now. How's it going, Major Garrett?
Have you seen the news?
Are we talking about which news?
Mike Waltz.
Mike Waltz.
Yeah.
All right. So here's a quiz. Name all five national security advisors who worked for President Trump. Go.
Mike Waltz.
Go. Come on. Go.
And
Come on now. Come on. Quickly. Five.
Now I'm freaking out.
Fred Buttermer.
I'm freaking out, Major.
We're not good on the spot.
Yeah,
Michael Flynn, H.R. McMaster, John Bolton, Robert O'Brien, and now Mike Waltz.
Yeah, that's a lot,
five,
right?
National security advisors in 4 years, 102 days.
So is that... It's not unusual for people to leave an administration. Like, I know the press secretary, they're always going through a couple of those at least. This is unusual, though, right?
Hyper unusual. For those in the audience who may not know what the National Security Advisor does, the National Security Council was created as the White House organizing hub for the State Department, the Pentagon, and all the various intelligence agencies. And that person is closest to the president in the West Wing all the time to not only brief the president, but to coalesce the policy for the administration, whoever the president is, and be the touch point when the president is otherwise doing things for the State Department, the intelligence agencies, the Pentagon, and all the key component parts of the national security apparatus. It was created as a Cold War entity to make sure the president had constant eyes on the entire national security apparatus when the president was necessarily doing other things. And to have five in 4 years and 102 days is not only record-breaking, but it goes to a kind of impatience or lack of confidence that the president has in this super important non-Senate confirmable post. Defense Secretary, Secretary of State, CIA Director, all that stuff goes through the Senate confirmation process. The National Security Advisor doesn't. The National Security Advisor is chosen by the president. And once you're chosen, you're in. So it's really tight to the president and the executive branch. And Mike Waltz is no dummy. He has tremendous experience, battlefield experience, read a couple of books about it, very much on the Trump MAGA world sort of axis of interpretation of the world and world events and Trump policy. He left Congress to do this, and 102 days in, no matter how MAGA he was, he's now unemployed, a MAGA flame out, and out of Congress. That's a pretty sorry state of affairs for him.
So who steps in his place?
Who knows? I mean, seriously.
They also,
according to our reporting, are dismissing or firing, however you want to, whatever apprentice television show language you want to put it in, getting rid of the deputy national security advisor. So there's nobody right in the queue right behind it. Hegseth is melting down at the Pentagon, firing three people he brought in last week and the week before. So the Pentagon doesn't have senior leadership underneath the defense secretary. There's now no national security advisor or deputy. So, you know, I know we all sort of have defaulted to this belief that only the president matters and only the president deals with things. And to a certain extent, in the Trump presidency, that's true. But this is a level of dysfunction that he has created. Again, this position is his choice and his choice alone. Doesn't have to ask any senator about it. Doesn't have to go through any confirmation process. It is linear to his tastes and desires. And five times he hasn't been able to get what he thinks he wants out of this particular position.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Major, to that point about how many people are fired and all of the turnover that we see, there was a lot of, with the voters, a lot of fondness or reminiscing about Trump 1.0. And I'm not sure if that's what voters were expecting in Trump 2.0. But Trump 2.0 is very different. He has a very different set of people around him. Mm-hmm. What are some of the key differences that you see that voters might not realize that Trump 1.0, that's not going to show up?
No, it's not. No, not at all. And that's why this firing of Mike Waltz is so interesting to me. So Trump, the first time around, it was a surprise victory to him. I recount that in my book, Mr. Trump's Wild Ride, what election night was like and how surprised they were, how downcast they were when the polls closed. They were not expecting to win. They thought it was possible, but not probable. And once he did win and became president-elect, they did not have not only a fully formed transition plan, they didn't have a nominally informed transition plan. They started basically from scratch. And when you start from scratch, you're always trying to play catch up. And they didn't know with whom they could create alliances. They didn't know what their own Trumpian approach was going to be. It was kind of evolving. And they didn't know who was really on their side. Lots of people who were close to the Trump campaign from 2016 began calling Republicans who suddenly got on board as post-election Trumpists. They only were Trumpists after he won. So they didn't know who they could trust. And that was always something filtering through how people were hired and then fired the first time around. This time, for 4 years, they have built a cadre of quote-unquote revolutionaries, people who were Trumpists the first time around and became even more hardened Trump loyalists in the 4 years out of power. And through various think tanks that were put up by people funding the Trump organizations, political and otherwise, they got themselves in a very locked arms perspective on a next Trump administration, should there be one. And they're the ones populating this administration now. They're the ones who've written all these executive orders and had them ready to go from day one, coming out in sort of a blitzkrieg fashion. That's different. So Trump has lots of loyalists. Mike Waltz thought he was among that group, thought he had proven himself in the House of Representatives, on the campaign trail, during the transition. He thought he was safe and had established, through all the things he advocated for President Trump when he was out of power in the House of Representatives, that he was in. Nope, he's out. And so that makes you wonder, within this group that thinks that they're all on board and all safe because they're all hardened Trump loyalists, what actually is your job security and who can knife you in the back and who can make you expendable suddenly? Look, everyone thought in the first 2 weeks after the Signal revelations through the Atlantic magazine that maybe Mike Waltz was going to be out. But then Trump kept involving him in cabinet meetings, kept calling on him, kept referring to him. So I don't know what the ins and outs of this particular dismissal today are about. everyone had sort of thought he had, Mike Waltz, weathered the storm. And the second signal revelation was all about Pete Hegseth and sharing military plans with his wife, his personal attorney, and his brother. Everyone thought, well, now the scrutiny, the harsh scrutiny is on Hegseth, not Waltz. Well, I don't know if Hegseth is next or not, but now we know that initial hesitancy to fire people, which everyone told us, well, Trump's not going to do it this time around. He's not going to fall for the media narratives and outside pressure. Well, okay, that was false. He did. Waltz is out. Deputy National Security Advisor is out. Who's next? And we're going to play that Washington game now in a very similar way than we did in the first Trump administration, which I didn't expect would start this rapidly.
The U.S. and Ukraine deal, the minerals deal, this mm-hmm. is this a good step forward?
It's a very – well, look, it's a step forward in the sense that what Ukraine needs in any conversation with Russia is a sense that the United States has a continued interest in its future as a sovereign country. Having a minerals deal with the United States recognizes, A, Ukraine's sovereignty, meaning it's not going to be overtaken by Russia, and it has ongoing business interests there. Would the Ukrainians have preferred that this also include in writing security guarantees to back it up? Yes. Did they get them? No. The Trump administration says those are implied. If we have business relationships and we're extracting minerals and we're making money off it, you can be sure under a Trump administration, probably any future one, we're going to militarily protect those economic interests. That's implied. Ukraine right now would like more than implied guarantees on the security front, but it will take what it can get, and a recognition of the United States of its ongoing current sovereignty and future sovereignty is a start.
Major Garrett, as always, we appreciate it. Thank you for hanging out with us for a few minutes today, and we'll talk to you Thursday of next week.
It's been a busy day already.
Yeah, folks. Well, get back to work. It's about time.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed, sir.
You've been over there loafing all day.
That's all I do. I've got three hammocks in my office. I just rotate the three hammocks.
That's because you're waiting on those couches.
You set an alarm, and the alarm wakes you up so that you can get into the next hammock.
Exactly. That's all I do.
There you go. Thank you, Major.
Bye-bye.
Major Garrett is the chief Washington correspondent for CBS News. His show is America Decides, which you can watch on CBS News 24/7.
Podcasting isn't just evolving, it's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.